Okay, thank you.
All right, so for my project, I'm really just focusing on the process that the Chino Police Department is using to catch the AK-47 bandit. Just whatever process you guys are using to try and find him. And my first question really just relates to what if you could just take me back to basically a timeline of what has happened and what steps you guys have taken so far.
Well, Tim, as you know, the AK-47 bandit came to Chino on February 29, 2012. He committed an armed robbery at the California Bank and Trust located in the 5500 block of Chino Avenue. In the 5500 block of Riverside Drive. In the commission of bank robbery, he came out and tried to carjack some patrons at a drive-thru. And at the same time, we'd gotten a bomb threat on the south end of town at an Edison plant. The dispatcher was wise to the bomb threat because of her experience, and we believe that the bomb threat was an intentional ruse to deploy a bunch of our resources to the south end of the town. As you can imagine, the bomb threat to an Edison plant in today's day and age would be a righteous location for us to have an act of terrorism or some type of threat.
Mm-hmm.
So we're savvy enough to pick up on the fact that the bomb threat sounds suspicious to the bank on Riverside Drive, and we deployed police officers to every bank in town because we'd also gotten some intelligence that that's a common method for bank robbery suspects to use to create a distraction to rob banks. When our officer arrives on scene, the AK-47 bandit sees him pulling into the parking lot and immediately opens fire on the police officer's car, striking the car about 6 to 8 times. One of the rounds went to the officer's leg. He has the presence of mind to speed away and broadcast the information that the bank is being robbed by an armed gunman, drives himself to the hospital, and the investigation essentially of the bank robbery unfolds from there. The suspect flees from the scene, and it's the outstanding car that we still believe he's driving, which is the dark Nissan Maxima with the chrome package and with tinted windows. And as you also know, he's committed several other bank robberies, a 10th robbery in Northern California, a robbery in the Sacramento area, North Bend, Washington, Rexburg, Idaho, and his most recent robbery in Nebraska City, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
This robbery in Nebraska, he's gotten more brazen, more vocal about his intentions. During the commission of the last robbery, he drove up right in front of the credit union, got out, and was very vocal, very demanding with the tellers, came in his usual style, guns a-blazing, and told the tellers that that they better not do anything wrong because he's not afraid to shoot. He is he's very bold. He's very, very aggressive in his nature.
Mm-hmm.
So the series of events is during the commission of one of the robberies, we make it a point to not discuss by design how much money these guys get in the commission of their robberies as an investigative tool. But during one of his robberies, he got a pretty significant amount of money, which we do believe drove him underground for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that last commission where he got a pretty good take of money is why we believe that there was such a time lapse between his last robbery and the most recent one in Nebraska City.
Okay.
So I guess the other part of your question is, what have we done? Well, I guess my response to that, Kenny, at the top of the organization is, what haven't we done?
Mm-hmm.
We have used every resource available to us from the FBI. To date, we have followed up on almost 200 leads related to this investigation, whether it be from electronic cell phone tower dumps to data to information to video to extensive canvassing of neighborhoods and businesses after the commission of these robberies. We've sent detectives to every location that he has committed robberies in an effort to educate our other law enforcement entities about the seriousness of this crime and the suspect's MO, and in an effort to preserve any type of evidence that we could collect with him, you know, during his ingress or egress of the commission of his crime, as well as any national media publication we can get about this suspect, because, quite frankly, we don't know where he's going to hit next. As it seems to be, he's working his way up to Northern California and now northeasterly across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that answers it for you, but in a nutshell, I think that's pretty much it, unless you have something to add.
Yeah, no. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I think that summed it up.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask, because as I was looking into this, I noticed the 2-year hiatus, it seemed like. So you believe it's because he pulled off enough cash in the Idaho robbery that he was willing to go underground for 2 years? Or is it possible that he robbed other places, but the idea of AK-47 Bandit hadn't reached other places yet?
I don't believe that the idea of the AK-47 Bandit hasn't reached other places. That's possible, but I don't believe that. I believe that what we've experienced is there's been a time delay in the intelligence and information sharing of tracking these. There was about a 7 to 10 day delay in the Nebraska City robbery when finally an FBI agent came across the information and said, hey, this may be our bandit that we're looking for. Once they contacted local West Coast authorities, we confirmed it was him.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to have, in every robbery, he has very, very specific clothing and behaviors that we can tie back to it being the AK-47 bandit, as well as we believe he's still using the same car and the same gun to commit these robberies. He has such a unique appearance about him. If we were to get other bulletins nationally where his picture were to be posted, we would recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not for public dissemination, but we do. We do believe that he has been able to go for lengthy periods of time between some commissions of robberies because of some of the money that he has been able to take from these financial institutions.
Mm-hmm. How I just find it intriguing that he uses the same car and seemingly seems to – it's almost like he's begging somebody to find him and with using the same car and things like that. How interesting do you find that?
Well, in the beginning I did until we started investigating the crime. He's very wise to be using this car. He is probably paying attention to media information. He's wise enough to know that it's likely that we don't have a license plate or any license plate information on his car. That is an angle that we worked. We tried to determine, we thought that maybe a darker colored Nissan Maxima. We actually took that picture to Nissan dealerships to ask what year of car they thought that, what the manufacturer it was. And we thought that maybe a car with a chrome package that way, that chrome package is kind of unique to Nissan. So there's not a bunch of them produced with chrome packages.
Mm-hmm.
When we looked at that angle, there are literally hundreds of thousands of them that are still produced.
Mm.
So to have a car that blends in so well with everybody else, it's not like he's driving a yellow Ferrari, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's driving a car that hundreds of thousands of Americans drive every day, and he's wise enough to know that we don't have any information about, you know, the license plate, or we would be broadcasting that, right? Which
mm-hmm.
probably would have caused us to get rid of that car.
Mm-hmm.
Which it goes back to our theory that he may have some law enforcement or military experience, knowing that, hey, if they don't have anything on my car, what's the use of me ditching it?
Mm-hmm.
The other part, he has a law enforcement background. We're waiting. We put an alert on it if one of these cars comes up, you know, through the FBI, salvaged or dumped somewhere. We've also looked at that angle. Have any of these cars been laid off someplace, right, as a salvage or sold? We've gone to all those local areas to see if any of those cars have been dumped, and they have.
Mm-hmm.
So from one perspective, it's a car that virtually blends in very well to all of society and is going unnoticed because of the commonality of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So I actually noticed yesterday the LA Times did an article on the AK-47 Bandit. Is your main focus spreading awareness then? Is that really, to sum it up, what you are trying to do?
Well, yes, because we believe that somebody knows who the suspect is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other part of this is, Ken, this guy is, he's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
To what we know, we believe during the commission of his first armed robbery, he shot and tried to kill a Chino police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And to date, we hold the most serious charge that he will stand trial for. And he's definitely shown by shooting at a police officer that he's not afraid to shoot and kill anyone or any other law enforcement officer that happens to stand across him while he's committing one of these violent robberies.
Mm-hmm.
So the mere fact that this guy has shot and injured a police officer makes him particularly dangerous, not to just the public, but to the entire law enforcement community across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly the guy you don't want to walk up on as a police officer, have this guy get nervous thinking that he thinks the cop knows that he's stopping a bank robbery suspect, and the poor police officer walking up to him doesn't even know who this guy is. Next thing you know, he's taking, you know, 6 rounds from a handgun.
Mm-hmm.
From a guy that we have no idea who it is.
Mm-hmm.
He has no idea who he's approaching.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of this is we have our detectives believe that this may be a guy that's not going to surrender. Mm-hmm. And when we come across him in the commission of this robbery, we believe that he may opt to go out North Hollywood bank robbery style and just take it on in a blaze of glory with the police. Because of the type of rifle he has, because he shot at the police, because we believe he's wearing body armor. The mere fact that he's wearing body armor in the commission of an armed robbery is a statement that he's willing to shoot it out with somebody. Most robbery suspects don't go in with that type of gun, body armor, wearing a balaclava. You know, most armed robbery suspects, even if they go in and pass a note or flash a gun in their waistband in a very passive manner. This is a very threatening, intimidating, in a very, very aggressive and violent manner in which he's committing these robberies.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that I'm sure you guys have looked into it, that Chino was his first robbery, or were there possibly ones before that weren't identified?
We believe Chino was his first robbery, but we don't have anything to definitively answer that question at this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, in a more general topic, I know every serial criminal kind of has their own unique things, but do you guys have some type of framework or techniques when searching for serial criminals?
The technique that we've employed with this is we've taken what we know about this criminal to date, and we've submitted it to a local company in Redlands called Esri, and we've asked them to look at every angle investigatively that we may not have looked at and provide us with a comprehensive report on that. It has not been returned to us as of this date.
Okay. But do you see commonalities in this criminal in relation to ones from the past?
It's a weird thing with robbery suspects. They seem to, I mean, from my experience, they get a superstition about them as far as his clothing, his gun of choice. You'd be surprised, but a lot of robbery suspects that we just stopped one several months ago, a serial robbery suspect, captured him. He had the same gun, the same mask, the same clothes. It's almost like tools of them that they go back to commit their crimes.
Mm-hmm.
What we see is that he's wearing similar clothing, the balaclava, body armor, and using the same gun. And most likely because he's had previous success with these tools to commit these crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes almost like a default or a comfort for them to commit these crimes with these tools.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not uncommon when you catch robbery suspects for them to have the same type of materials that they used to commit previous robberies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you noticed a similarity in the size of the bank that he tries to attack?
No, and we've examined that.
So he's it just seems like he picks very interesting areas. I mean, Sacramento was the biggest city he really went after, but in terms of do you think he's just picking on small places that he's pretty sure he can get in and out of?
We don't know. What some of the banks, one of the institutions have what we call bandit border, right? You know, the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them have not had that type of glass, that type of protective glass. But that's the same as because a lot of banks don't have that. Some of them do, some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
His last two have been just to what I would call financial establishments on the outskirts of smaller cities, Nebraska City, Rexburg, Idaho. So his last two have been institutions of that nature. But again, there's no definitive answer to that either.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is the idea behind the website? Is it strictly just to show where he's been, what he's done? Is it strictly like a digital poster, or is there more plans for more to come from that?